today. Bless your word. Encourage your people. Strengthen each one, I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you have your Bible, open it up to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I'm going to read a scripture. I won't be long today. You just have to listen real close. If you see Pastor Ms. Erin Martin today, wish her a happy birthday. It's her birthday tomorrow. I made the mistake of saying she was in her 40s in the first service. I will not do that in this service because her dad was about ready to come right up out of his seat and have a throwdown. I don't know if he was upset at because I was picking on his daughter or because that would make him older than he is. I'm not sure. I haven't discerned that yet, but I'll figure it out before the end of the service. Hey, I want to encourage you too. Last Thursday night, we had a great night here. It was power-packed. This Thursday night, Pastor Matt Sassano, he is an anointed, gifted man of God. His daughter, Dianza, I think many of you have heard her. She's just an anointed musician, psalmist. She'll be here with him. And this Thursday at 7 o'clock, it will be a great night for you. Somebody asked me some time ago, they said, can anybody come to a Thursday night service? Yes, the answer is. We want you. We love you. We encourage you. It's going to be great. And if you're a teenager, I hope to see you out at our place tonight. I'm going to throw a movie up on the side of the barn. I'm going to have some dinner together and just have a great time. Grades 7 through 12. At the end of the service today, we're going to receive our monthly missions offering. This month's missions offering is going to go to the children, to the youth, to those ministries right here in the church. So I want you to be just keep that logged in the back of your mind. Again, to at the end of the service, you have an opportunity to sow into that, to light a candle. I love that analogy, Garrett. That was really great. And so, dear brothers, Romans 12, 1, I'm reading out of the New Living. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies, your life, to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a true and living holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Last week, as I'm on this topic of up close and personal, I told you last week that sometimes we plan a series and then other times I find my life in a series. I find myself living in something and I feel that that's what God would have me to talk about, to share again this morning, up close and personal. Last week I talked about our worship, how we live towards and with the Lord, and that we all have substitutions in our lives at some point or another. Everyone worships someone or something. Everyone. Some of us, we could get our priorities off course sometimes and worship something that has no relevance to what our eternal destiny is going to be. And there's nothing wrong with having things and having hobbies and things that you enjoy to do. Nothing wrong with that. Only it's wrong if they come before God. And I talked about sometimes we exchange our true relationship with God with our pride. And then that we live in a world, we live in what is called a hedonistic society where people are striving to just be happy. Their belief that pleasure and happiness is the goal of our lives, and they have forgotten moral convictions and things that really matter in our lives. And then I said, don't be a spectator. Get in. Get engaged. James 4:8. And I read this on Thursday night, and it opened up a floodgate of glory in this house. James 4:8, he says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Do you know that today you and I are as close to God as we choose to be right now? When I used to hear people say that years ago, that used to bother me. I'd say, you know, I want to be closer to God. No, you and I are as close to God today as we desire to be. And then some have exchanged their closeness, their up close and personal relationship with the Lord for traditions in their lives. And there's nothing wrong with some traditions, but there's something wrong with them if they take the place of who God is in our lives. Which means if I'm going to be fully devoted to Jesus and I'm going to be a Christ follower, our lives will have to take on this attitude of serving him, of giving our lives. And I talked a little bit about serving last week because Ryan, my son, the message that Garrett was speaking of, spoke a couple Thursday nights ago on serving, and it just sparked something in me to think about that, because the Lord is calling you and I not just to be consumers, but to be contributors in this life that he has entrusted us to. Ephesians 2:10 says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Everybody say good works. Which he prepared, God did beforehand, that all you got to do, like Dan said, is let him have his way and walk in them. And when you get into that lane, you get into that flow, you find out that ministry is really all about serving. Ministry is not necessarily getting up and speaking to people, but it's speaking in the lives of people. It's serving one another. It's sharing your life with somebody else's life. And if you're going to be up close and personal with God, and you're going to have that kind of relationship with him, you're going to find yourself more than just sitting on the sidelines and looking in. You're going to find yourself in the midst of it, because 1 Peter 4:10 says that each one has received a gift. Every one of us here today, we have received a gift. And then he goes on and he says to minister to, serve one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Your talents and your gifts were not just given to you for you, but they were given for you to serve and to give to others. And this beautiful scripture in Matthew chapter 20, and Jesus, he's confronted with something. The Bible says the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons, and she knelt and she asked, she said, Lord, can I ask you a favor? And he says, yeah, what is it? She says, in your kingdom, can my sons, one sit on one side of you and one sit on the other? And Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the cup, the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? And unknowingly, she said, of course we're able. And Jesus said, well, you'll indeed drink from my bitter cup. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right and my left. The Father has prepared those places for the one he has chosen. And when the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. And Jesus called them together and he said, you know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. And I read this statistic today that in Rome, 3.5 to 4.5 million people at that time, and 2 out of 5 were considered slaves. And that's where Jesus is talking about here. The rulers of the world, they lord it over their people. They flaunt their authority. But among you, he says, it must be different. Because here he changes this. He takes a paradigm and he flips it. He says, whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must become your doulos, your slave. And here's where he just changes the mentality. He says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life a ransom for many. And so if you and I are going to be up close and personal, have this life with Christ, one of the first things we have to do is just be available. You just be available. The Bible says that one day Christ was walking to Jericho. And the Bible says in Matthew 20 that two men shouted to him and they said, Lord, have mercy on us. And the scripture says, and Jesus stopped and called and said to him, what do you want me to do? Do you know that Jesus stopped? And if you really want to be used by God in your life, that you and I have to be willing to be stopped, to be interrupted, to have our schedules changed and messed up. That most of the ministry and most of the miracles that Jesus performed was when he stopped to do them. The blind man, the lame man, sick people, the woman with the issue of blood. Always moving in a direction, but always stopped to do something. Interrupting at the wedding of Cana. He did things when he allowed his father to stop him and to minister to the people. I want to give you a big idea here today. That many people, they say, I want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. But sometimes we need to follow the stops of Jesus to be available to do the things that he has called us to do. And some of us live with such a strict time management type of lifestyle. And I get that. I understand that. I live off of a calendar. And many times I find myself with my calendar looking at it and understanding and trying to figure out, you know, I got this appointment here. I got this meeting here. I got this to do here. And what if God interrupts me to the point where it messes up my calendar and messes up my schedule, but I do what he has called and created me to do? And all I can say that some of the blessings, the greatest blessings in my life, are when I have been stopped, when I have been interrupted in my schedule to do what God has called me to do. To stop and to go. Maybe it's simply, have you ever been somewhere? I've been in an elevator before and I felt the prompting of God to pray for someone. Uncomfortable, out of my comfort zone. And sometimes I'm sorry to say that I have disobeyed the leading of the Lord and not, but more so that I step and say, you know, the Lord just laid you on my heart here before we move on. Can I just pray for you? And see a life change, see a moment. And can I submit to you something today that when you and I serve, that you receive the greatest blessing of it? You receive the greatest miracle in your life when you serve others. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:28, if you can help your neighbor now, don't say, come back tomorrow, and then I will help you. Because servant-minded people don't procrastinate, and they don't wait just for the right time. They are on all the time. All the time. Amen. Love the Lord. Give him a praise on that. Come on. If you're going to praise him, give him a good one. John Wesley said this. He said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, by all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. And I have stood at the bedside of many people who have taken their last breath, and none of them said, I wish I would have worked longer. I wish I would have spent more days on the job. But invariably, they will say things like, I wish I would have served the Lord more. I wish I would have given more to the purposes and the plans of God. And even if it's out of your comfort zone, I want to encourage you to do it. Because when you step out of that place of safety into that place of, if God doesn't come through, you don't know what's going to happen. You find a faith in God like you have never had before. You can jump over a wall. You can leap through over a mountain. You will do things that you never thought you would be able to do. But there's some barriers to that. Personal agendas will get in the way. Philippians 2:4 says, don't look out only for your own interest, but look out for the interest of others. I want to encourage somebody today. Are you so busy with your own life that you don't have any time for anything or anyone else? If you are, and if that's you, can I give you a word from God? You're too busy. Because one of the enemy's greatest enemies of compassion is just being too busy. Now, I'm not indicating and I'm not suggesting to anyone just to leave your job and just stand on the sidewalk waiting for God to use you. That's not what I'm talking about. If you know me, I'm going to tell you to work harder, give more, serve more. But in the midst of all of that, God will bring you opportunities that you can share the love of Jesus with somebody. It could be in the restaurant you go to today. You could have a waitress that instead of you getting mad because they don't do something in the moment that you demand it, you could just bless them. You could bless them. You could double their tip. Come on, somebody. Do I have any waiters or waitresses in here? Bless them. Let them know you're praying for them. Let them know you care for them. Perfectionism is another enemy of serving. It's got to be the right time. Everything's got to be perfect. The lights have got to be just right. The atmosphere, the weather's got to be right. If I don't do this, if I don't do that, forget that. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 11:4, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never do nothing. And I'm saying this to somebody today. You've been waiting to say, well, someday I'm going to do this. Can I say to you today, your someday has just arrived today. Hallelujah. Amen. And the other hindrance is materialism. Hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with having things. But what is wrong is when things have you. Luke 16:13 says, no man, no servant can serve two masters. He'll hate one, he'll love the other, or else he'll be loyal to one and he'll despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Nothing wrong with having it, only wrong if it has you. Another attribute to being up and close and personal with him in our serving is to learn to be grateful. You and I must learn to be grateful in order to serve. We don't have to serve. Hey, we get to serve the Lord. It's a privilege to serve God. We don't have to do it. We get to do it. We get to give glory and honor to God. We get to get up and give him our lives. We get to go to church. I love, if you were here on Thursday night, you heard Chris Buzniak talk about when he was in New York City a week ago at the missions trip that they went on. He said, one of the greatest things that I took from it, because the churches they went to, they rent a building and got to set up and tear down. And we've done all that. Listen, that's how this church started. We didn't just start in this building. We rented. We started in our home. We were in our yard. We were in our house. Then we went to the YW. And then we came here. And he says, well, one thing I'm thankful as is the house of God that he's given us to worship him in every single week, every day. We get to be here. Come on. You can give God a better praise than that. Psalm 100 verse 2 says, to serve the Lord with gladness. Don't do it with a miserable heart. Learn to serve him with gladness. Learn to serve him. What keeps us from being glad and being grateful? Criticism. We compare, we criticize. I want to encourage you, if that you have a ministry of criticism, ask God to deliver you. Correcting and great positive influence is one thing. Negative criticism only tears down and destroys. And it'll never make you grateful for a thing. Another thing that keeps us from being grateful in serving is wrong motives. And I love the scripture that Jesus says in Matthew 6. He says, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. Did you hear that? And so many people, if they don't get a pat on the back, if they don't say publicly, thank you, and I'm all for giving honor. I'm all for blessing people. I'm all for telling. But if you live for that, my brother and my sister, you live for the wrong purpose. And he goes on to say, when you give to someone in need, don't do it as hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in their synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. Look at, he says, I tell you the truth, they've received their reward they will ever get. If you want to applause a man, that's all the reward you'll get. But if you do it to be seen from God, if you'll give in secret, God will bless you in secret. He'll pour out upon your life. You can't live by just the blessing of another man. You need the blessing and the favor of God to be upon your life. Oh, come on. I'm going to amen myself if you don't amen beyond that. And I'll never forget years ago, we first doing Adopt-A-Lock, we were giving food. And this one individual, he would never help until he found out we were going to hand out food. And I'll never forget, he wanted to be the guy in front taking the food up to everybody's house. Here, knocking out, look at what I've given to you. Aren't I great? And I just wanted to help me, Jesus, right now. But when, verse 3, when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right one is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Do something that no one else will even know about. Bless someone. Do, just serve the Lord with your life and with your heart. And we live in a society, and even among the Christians, that they have to be noticed. They look at what I'm doing. See who I am. Aren't I great? Look at what I'm doing. Look at me. Hey, everyone, look this way at me. And nowhere in the scripture does it say that if you're going to be a true servant, that you need to have the accolades of humanity to cause you to survive. In fact, the opposite is true. That if you're going to live and serve, you better be ready to do it. And know that only God is looking and watching you. Amen. Oh, somebody needs to hear that today. People have been derailed in their calling of life because they were waiting for the applause of man. Well, they never said how good I was. They didn't call me. They didn't compliment me. I did all this and nobody did this. And my brother and my sister, if you ever wait for that, you have your reward. What would be better for one of us to put our arm around? And I'm not discounting that. Listen, if you know me, I'm a hugging machine. Come on, somebody ought to amen me on that. I love you. I'll appreciate you. I'll bless you. I bought more lunches and coffee. I'll give you. But if that's what you live for, you're going to miss out on the greatest blessing that the Lord would ever be able to give to you. He will bless your life in a measure and in a way you won't even believe. Hallelujah. Give to the Lord. And lastly, if you're going to get up and close and personal, you just got to be faithful. You don't quit in the middle of your assignment. You don't give up just because it gets going hard. You don't stop just because the uphill climb gets a little steeper and a little harder. All this, you know, I learned so many attributes about the Bible when I'm in the gym and doing something that I never could have done before. And when people would tell me you can do it, I just wanted to get up and pop them one right between the eyes. I can't do it. But you know, longer and longer that I go, and the more I serve that, and the more I discipline myself, the more I find out I'm not a quitter. I'm a finisher. I'm going to go to the end. I'm going to be and do what God has called me to do. I'm not going to stop just because I run up against a little trouble, a wall, a little hindrance in my life. I'm going to pick up myself. I'm going to carry on. I'm not going to quit because there is no plan B. When God calls you, He anoints you, He fulfills you, and He gives you everything you need to do what He's called you to do. John 17:4 says, Jesus, I brought glory to you here on the earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. And my goodness, I want to say that, Lord, maybe I'm not the biggest at it and the best, but I did what you called me to do. I didn't give up. I was persistent. I'm going to keep on moving ahead. And if I'm going to serve him, if I'm going to give him my life, I'm not going to give him a little piece of it just when it's convenient for me, because it'll never just be convenient for me. Serving God, getting up and close and personal means that you do it when he calls you to do it, not when you're ready to do it. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, now a person who is put in charge as a manager, he must be faithful. 1 Corinthians 15:58, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong, be immovable, always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Nothing you do for God will go unnoticed from him. Come on, can you say amen to that today in his house? Come on, give the Lord one great last praise. I read this story about several years ago. Two young men went into a church service one night. They didn't know the Lord, and they went, and the place was packed. They didn't know where to go, so they turned around, and they begin to leave until an usher. Come on, thank God for the ushers. Until an usher said, hold on, boys. Let me take you and show you where a couple seats are. Walked them down near to the front of the church. Those two young boys sat down that night as they heard the preaching of the Word of God. They gave their life to Jesus Christ. And one of those young men's name was Billy Graham. Because of an usher, because of a servant who served the Lord with all of their heart. Come on. Let's be servants of the Most High God. Let's get up close and personal with it. Come on. Let's give the Lord another praise before we go on here. Amen. close your eyes, bow your head. You say, Pastor Marty, I don't know what to serve. I don't know. What am I good at? I could have had a list up there today. I thought about it and I just felt the moving of the Lord. No, no list. You don't need a list of all the... There's needs in every direction. Oh, we always need ushers. We always need children's work. There's so many things. Clothing, food, pants, so many things. Bus. God bless Jim Beach in church this morning. In a wheelchair, faithful to God until the day he couldn't drive that. He didn't take a vacation from it. I'm even believing God that he's going to drive that bus again someday. But until he does, God wants to lay his hand on somebody else to drive a bus and a van. Sound, whatever. We could go on and on. I could tell you 500 things. Jail, going visiting people, making a meal for somebody. Some of you got you're blessed on knowing how to cook. You only cook for yourselves. You'll never know the real blessing until you cook for somebody else. Bless somebody. Sow into their lives. Be up close and personal with Jesus. Click into this place in your life and serve him with all of your heart. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. The Spirit of the Lord is working. Maybe you're here today. You've never met Jesus. You've never given your heart to him. You need to do that today before you go. You need to give him your life. Just say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I ask you to forgive me every sin I ever committed. I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to be the Lord and the master of my life. He begins to change you and come into you, work in you, bless your life. Father, I pray for my brothers and my sisters here today that you'll use them in a powerful way. I pray that for some, this blockade of not giving and serving will be tore down today. And Lord, a brand new life will emanate out of them. In Jesus' name I pray. Come on. Everybody said amen. 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 Can you give God one more great praise? Thank you, Lord.